Well, what I want to do first of all is to, I was going to write on the board, but this marker doesn't work very well. Define areas that I think our society has defined healthcare, and then areas that I think that the church or religion or our faith can define healthcare differently than what we see. The first thing.
We'll forget the board.
There's a green one, but it doesn't work any better. So, the first area under where the state defines healthcare, I think, has to do with the way our culture defines independence. We're a very independent culture, in that I can do things my way, by myself, without help from anyone, and that will define who I am. If I can't do things by myself, then I'm a failure somehow. And if I don't own up to par with everyone else, I'm a failure. And I think that that has come down into healthcare also, in that I can bear this alone. This is my illness, and I can put up with it. And also has come down into healthcare in that I don't want to be a burden on anyone else. I think that that has a real big definition in our healthcare system. And insurance, just the big business that the healthcare industry has become, is to ensure me that I don't have to ever be dependent on anybody else. That's a real broad area. Moving over to ways that I think that my faith can define healthcare is to define my illness, to be really conscious that when I'm ill, I am ill by myself. My own idiosyncrasies and whatever is in my body is ill, but I am also ill within a community or a family, and that my illness affects that community and family, and that family affects me and what I think about the illness. That I am ill within a culture, within a country, that the therapies that the country has to offer, the environment, the contagions that this culture, this country that we have, affects my illness, and in ways I impact with the country is by the way I react to it. And then the fourth one is simply to recognize that I am ill because I'm a mortal creature, that's who I am. And unless we recognize those four things all together, I think that we get stuck in the independence thing. We aren't aware of how many different planes and levels we are. Where faith or the church intersects that, I think, is community support. If somehow the church could become enough of a community to say, you know, I care when you're ill and I care when you're healthy, and I'm going to support you, whatever that means, because I love you. That's real idealistic, but can't be any worse than some things now. The second area that I think the state or our culture or society, whatever you want to call it, affects healthcare is that we are, as a country, very productivity oriented. Your worth is determined by how much you get done in a day, how much you get done in a month, in a year. You're worth something when you've accomplished something and done something worthwhile in your life. That interferes with healthcare in that I'm going to wait to the last possible minute to finally lay my body down when I don't feel ill. Spending 2 days in bed is not very productive. And I think that we ignore a lot of our illnesses and push our limits because of this mindset somehow that we have to be productive to have had a worthwhile day, whatever that means in our lives. Moving over to the side where ways that faith or religion can influence medicine, I think is the real basic teaching that each person is valuable and accepted and loved for who they are in whatever area they are. And then through that acceptance and love is where you get the challenge to be productive, whatever that means, that you're challenged through the church only because first you're accepted and that you don't have to drop dead, literally, before you prove that you're worth something. A word that I particularly dislike and I think would be taken care of in this way is the word hypochondriac. People who are always complaining about something to get attention or care or take time off that they need, whatever it is. I think if the church accepted the people, they could legitimately be ill in the beginning stages of their illness without appearing to be a hypochondriac. If I could go to bed every time I could tell I was getting a cold, instead of somebody saying, "Gaw, you know, once a month she's in bed," you know, they could say, "She's doing good work with her body, she's paying attention to it." To a limit, there again you have to challenge. That's, some people would take, could take advantage of that kind of mindset, I think. And another way, this is the last one in the section, the way that society defines health, I think, is that society has elevated science to the position almost of God. Doctors are God. Doctors can do anything. You cure me, I don't have anything to do with my body. You do the work. You're God, you're the science, you're the knowledge, you do what you need to do to get my body better. Give me pills, whatever. Society does not listen to things very well. It says that we need to change our lifestyle, that we have something to do with our health. Quite a bit of our country goes to the doctor when they can't function anymore in their normal lives, when they're ill enough to have to stop and go do something about it, and then take as little time off as they can. The church, probably pretty obvious, God is God, and we need to take care of the gifts we have been given from God, which includes our bodies, and gifts also include each other, that we take care of each other. And that goes back to the community orientation. I think that religion or the church could also do a much better job in defining wholeness within ourselves, also within all of creation, that we are whole with the whole world, with not just within my body, that I'm not whole, mind, spirit, and body.
There's a mouse.
A mouse.
It's a little reflexive there. Could you repeat that? I'm sorry.
Okay. Speaking of creation, that we are whole with all of creation being part of ourselves, that holistic health or being whole is not just mind, body, and spirit, but it also has to do with all of creation in our country and in our world, in the universe. That health has to be defined with everything in mind, not just with what's going on inside of my body or mind, whatever. Those are fairly broad areas. The three major ones that I picked out, and I think each one could be a discussion in itself. Brainstorming, whatever it would take to more clearly define all of those. But I'd like to get a little bit into real specific ways that I think the church, real concrete ways that I think the church could act in the healthcare field. And that's basically that I think a nurse would work very well within the church system. And back in nursing school, I kind of thought that I would like to be a nurse in a church, and I've had this in the back of my mind. And then I came up here this fall and started listening to some tapes by Granger Westberg, and he actually has that going on in Arizona. I was dumbfounded when someone else has these same ideas. So it was kind of fun. I think that while I'm thinking about it, I'll give you the things that I've been reading and listening to lately as kind of a starting point. It's hard to tell how much of what I've read, how much of that I can quote, because as with everyone else, when I read something, I selectively take in things that fit in with my thought processes. And a lot of things I say that I think are, that I know are very much a part of me, are probably almost word for word out of some someone else's mind, but I've incorporated them. One book is The Caring Question by Donald and Nancy Tubesing, T-U-B-E-S-I-N-G. And they spend a lot of time on defining what caring is and what a balance is between taking care of yourself and taking care of people around you. A good book in that way. This spirituality named Compassion. I've kind of in my mind subtitled this session a spirituality named Wellness. When I was first out of nursing school, I read this book twice straight through, and I've had it put away till just a couple weeks ago I start reading it, and I had not realized how much of this entire book I've incorporated into my thought processes of what I want the healthcare system to be. I think his definition of compassion can be fairly well interchanged with definitions of wellness, salvation, wholeness. It's all interconnected. And Matthew Fox's writing style is sometimes difficult to catch on to, as some people know. But it's really a good book, I think. I also, as I mentioned, Granger Westberg has 7 or 8 tapes in the tape library that he did this past summer. He's probably one of the major pioneers in this country in holistic health, and now is doing work with nurses and churches and how to make it function in this country. I'm going to start a little bit with a description of how an illness comes about, and then get into what we can do. Illness, as many people have heard me say, I don't know how many times, is a way that your body's trying to tell you something. Listen to your body, listen to your body. I can't stress that enough in my definition of what health is. It's just listening, knowing who your body is, paying attention to it. Paying attention to when it wants us to do something. When we first get sick, we know we are the first ones. I am the first one to know when I'm not feeling good. And if I don't diagnose it and treat it right away, with basic common sense, rest, whatever, if I get injured, if I don't rest it, whatever it is, if I do diagnose and treat it, it'll get better. And nobody else will ever have known that I was starting to get sick, that I wasn't feeling good. If I let it get to a point, ignore it, don't treat it, don't even pay attention to it, pretty soon people around me are going to notice that. When you live with somebody, you can tell when they're not starting to feel good. Maybe they start getting crabby first or something like that. People who know me well will be able to tell fairly early when I'm not feeling good somehow. And that includes mental health and spiritual health. They can tell. And then moving out from there, community, friends, people at church, people you work with, whoever, will soon be able to tell that you're not feeling good. If you don't listen to yourself, or you don't listen to your friends or your family, the illness will get worse to the point where you can't very comfortably still do your normal activities during the day. And at that point, you may opt to go see a physician. If that doctor, he or she, is a good doctor, probably they will define the problem as you could have defined it a long time ago. In other words, rest, whatever it takes. They will say something about your lifestyle, that you have to pay attention and take care of what you have. Most often in our society, doctors will listen to society and hand out pills, whatever, which do make people feel better for a while, but basically cover up the problem of whatever's going on. I want to stop right here and say that I am not against the medical field at all, that I really appreciate medicine, and many people are very seriously ill through no fault of their own and benefit greatly from the medical system. But we kind of take those severe illnesses to define all of health care, and that's what I don't think is right. So If for some reason you aren't listening to your doctor or the pills he or she gave you aren't working, the problem stays insistent and you may enter the hospital and then find out what the problem is and get it fixed somehow. Or often I think that when people enter the hospital, probably about 50% of their healing is getting out of their particular environment and lifestyle and getting some plain old TLC, personal attention from people in the hospital, enough to calm them down and do a lot towards the healing in their body. We get past the second step of the doctor in the hospital, who isn't doing the job, and then the specialists come in. And the specialists are usually seen when the problem is fairly large by then. The specialists will diagnose, find out what's going on, treat, and usually it is at this point, if the treatment is not effective, the problem is terminal or chronic, that's when the church and the clergy come in. I think, or I know that most of the doctors in our country are in, I don't have it written up on the board, but in steps B and C, which is seeing the physician and entering the hospital and then seeing the physician or the specialist. That doctors are not in this first step of the very beginning, lifestyle, preventive, knowing when something's right at the verge of it. Doctors aren't in that, and that's pretty legitimate, I think. Doctor goes through 4 years of college, 4 years of med school, 3 or 4 years of internship, and probably does not want to treat sniffles after all of that. They're in the sickness business. And I think that it's very legitimate for the step D for the clergy and the church to go from that last phase to the first phase of being that community that knows when something's beginning. And that's where the nurse in the church comes in. A lot of this has been my thinking, but listening to Granger has really concretized, is that a word? My thoughts of what a nurse can and could do in a church. A lot of illness is related to grief and loss. That's been demonstrated to some extent, and probably no one knows how much that is true. How many people become ill after they've lost somebody or something they love and are grieving, or even after the stress. We've heard of the stress quotients, where you get so many points for moving, so many points for getting married, so many points for getting divorced, whatever that is. The higher your stress level is, the more likely you are to get ill. A church, I think, is a very legitimate agency to get involved in this area, and already churches are, without even knowing it, I think, are very good health keeping, preventive health agencies. All of the support groups, social groups, women's groups, youth groups. Churches are often involved in the Meals on Wheels, elderly care, child care type stuff. I think those are all very health giving practices, or whatever you want to call them. But I think that churches can be much more intentional in their health care giving. Nurse's role in the church, as I see it, would be number one, to be a primary caregiver. That nurse could be there, hired by the church, I think a lay person in the church, paid by the church, to be a consultant, to be that person that you can go see. A person doesn't want to go to a doctor when they first get a bellyache, because number one, the doctor's really busy, and number two, the doctor's really expensive. If that nurse was in church on Sunday and had hours after church, maybe, why could she or he not see people who are at the very beginning, who have the beginning of an ulcer that maybe would be a full-fledged bleeding ulcer before that person finally sought professional medical help? Whereas in the beginning, when that person is in some kind of stress or grief or loss, they could go say, hey, my stomach really hurts, and that nurse could help define what the problem is at the very beginning and work with that person, with, you know, whatever's going on. The second area that I think she or he could be effective in is to teach health and lifestyle within the church and within the community. Hold classes, sessions, whatever, on exercise, on diet, basic physiology. I love physiology, and I love explaining to people how the body works. You know, why it works, why it helps to keep you from getting a cold if you drink enough water. People don't know that, and I would find it really exciting to tell people that. If anyone wants to know, just come ask me. The third group I think that the nurse could be effective in is in developing groups of lay people within the church, within the community, to help her with this health care giving. The pastor working right alongside a pastor in a church knows very well, hopefully, people in the congregation who are grieving, who have had some kind of loss, who are in high stress jobs, new people in the community who may be grieving over friends that they left in their last community. Nobody ever thinks of new people in a community as grieving over what they've left behind. But I think all of those areas that the pastor could define, people within the congregation could define, are areas that lay people, that any one of us could have a hand in. Somebody who's lost a husband, 4 months down the line, she's still going to be grieving, and she may not be sleeping well, she may not be eating right. If there is one person who knows what grief is all about, who has had time with the nurse and with other people who are grieving, could be that person's special friend, you know, whatever you wanted to call it, I don't know, friend, who would still 4 months, 6 months, a year later, make sure that that woman had some touching, some caring, to know that she is not all of a sudden all alone. I think what happens a lot of time is the first 2 weeks after a death, you get a lot of attention and care and calls and food and whatever, and then people just kind of go on their way and forget that someone's still really grieving for a long time. I had a woman in the hospital one night who was just very combative almost. We had to restrain her a couple times. And finally, when I got done with all my real nursing stuff, whatever that was, I went in just to sit and hold her hand, and she started talking. And pretty soon she just busted out in tears and said, I just miss my husband so much. He had died 20 months before. 20 months. And she was right there just crying. I sat there with her for at least half an hour just holding her and rocking with her. And I mean, that was grief. How many people knew that she was, that she'd come in the hospital because she was confused? And it was psychological grief related still. It was really taught me something about paying attention to people for a long time. That's what being in community is, I think. And also working with lay people is working with people who are in other groups, the youth leaders. I'm working with a youth leader to know how to work with youth, with high school kids, teenagers, on how to take care of their bodies, you know, whether that includes the drugs and sex and whatever, just real basic health care type stuff. Teachers who teach in schools, either public schools or Sunday schools or whatever, would probably be more than pleased to know a lot more about health care and how they could teach their school children than they know. Teaching people who can also teach diet and exercise and lifestyle type things, to let it spread out so that the nurse isn't the one having to do all that, but an exercise group leader, someone who's responsible for leading an elderly people's exercise group, someone responsible for leading little kids' play groups, whatever that takes. And then the fourth area I think the nurse could be responsible in is being a liaison between health out there and health within the church. To know what agencies are out in the community that she could direct people to. Say that man who has a stomach ache because he's at the beginning of an ulcer. Does he need some kind of stress, crisis, whatever, counseling? she would know who. And also so that people out in the community, doctors, social workers, whoever, knows what's going on within the church, knows that the health programs, the exercises, the diet classes, the support groups, the study groups, whatever it takes, knows what's going on within the church. It can refer people into that community. I think that would be legitimate. I think that that's kind of the end of what I have in mind. It's far from complete and it's pretty brief. I think that I could probably spend 6 days talking about all of this. But I think that it's a real viable option to get past the band-aid type health care that our society has. Wait till somebody gets sick and can't go anymore and then try to do something about it. I think this is real preventive and holistic oriented, real healing oriented as far as all of the social and mental and spiritual and physical aspects. I also, one more thing that I just thought of, this sounds like it would really focus on this church and this community, you know, the congregation, whatever. I think that this would be a very good stepping stone for looking out into the world, being aware that what I eat, what my diet is affecting other people in the world. That person who is spending time grieving with an elderly person may all of a sudden realize what the situation is in our country of taking care of older people, and may get riled up enough to start working on some sort of reforms for elderly people. All kinds of areas. I think that it would be a real broadening experience for people. The rest of the time, I think I just want any questions or comments. If you want to expand any of this, you know, go ahead. Any of this can be expanded. I think that I would also like, if you don't mind, just to share experiences that people have with health. If they fit into any of this, or maybe if they disagree with this, if you think things a certain area is okay, just to talk about what kind of health care you get and expect and would like. Does that make sense? I'll start it off with about a year ago, last Christmas, I started feeling very tired. And I thought it was Christmas rush. A lot of people get really down around Christmas time and with all the busyness and holiday joy and all that kind of stuff. And I was just really tired all the time. And 3 months later, I was still tired and wanting to sleep all the time. And, you know, I just went through everything. I didn't feel physically ill at all. I felt mentally and spiritually pretty good. I was down at Tocoa at the landing. And we had a really good community dynamic going at that time. Everything seemed okay, and I couldn't figure out why. So I thought, well, I'll just, you know, go get a physical. It's been a while. And got a physical checkup, blah, blah, blah. Nothing came out wrong. And through that whole thing, that physician that I saw did not once ask me, you know, if I could possibly be depressed or if I was under any kind of stress or anything. You know, and I think that that's a real valid reason for tiredness, for fatigue. A lot of people, you know, just get tired and when they're depressed and or grieved or tired, he not once asked me how I was feeling mentally or spiritually. It was very physical oriented, blood tests and physical exams and are you ever short of breath and all that kind of stuff. And I didn't bother to tell him that I was feeling okay mentally. But that was a real awareness of mine at that time. And I eventually, you know, it was probably another 3 months that I was finally feeling better and didn't have to be so tired all the time, but I never knew what it was.